Dr. Seadimo, member of Minerals and Energy.
Allegation from the Department of Minerals and Energy. I am the chief director responsible for nuclear energy at the department.
Good morning. My name is Idebo Okomo, and I'm the acting director of nuclear safety at the department.
Good morning. My name is Scott Duvall. I'm a senior nuclear specialist in the Department of Minerals and Energy.
Good morning. My name is Pat Sterma. I'm from the Pebble Bed Modular Reactor Company. I'm the manager responsible for stakeholder relations.
Good morning. My name is Chantal Daniker. I'm from Nexa, and I'm the senior manager group communications and stakeholder relations.
Good morning, my name is Alan Carlson, I'm from Nexa, and I'm the senior manager responsible for the nuclear liability management.
Good morning, my name is Gert Liebenberg, I'm also from Nexa, a manager compliance management in the nuclear liabilities management department.
I'm Sputnik Rata, when the spokesperson for the minister.
Oh, how much are we the computer assistant?
Hi, good morning. My name is Ragnis.
Kidar Ram Gobin, Conserve Energy.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I think the first thing I will do, I just read all apologies. Mr. Danny Gekali will be late, and Mr. Sam Lowe will be late. I don't know, late meaning after an hour or 30 minutes. But I think the best thing to do is to start with the presentation, which deals with the National Radioactive Waste Management Agency bill coming from the department. I'm sure that members have relevant documents dealing with this. And I want to check if this is the only document we have for today. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It is indeed an honor for us to appear before this committee this morning. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the Director General who could not be part of our delegation this morning due to other matters. Chairperson, I'd like to just introduce the delegation again, particularly as to how we will be handling the presentation. As I indicated, I'm responsible for nuclear energy management at the Department of Minerals and Energy. I'm accompanied by Ms. Komo, who will be doing the presentation. I think even though Ms. Komo has indicated that she's acting director, I think, Chairperson, it is useful for us to indicate that in this youth month, Ms. Komo was actually promoted to the position of Director of Nuclear Safety, a position that she will be taking over on the 1st of July. I also want to introduce Dr. Duvall, who is now the senior nuclear specialist, and he was holding the position previously that Ms. Komo will be taking over. Ms. Komo will be doing the presentation as I indicated, and we will be here to support in terms of clarifications and so on. I just want to start by indicating that we have been involved in a process of actually, ensuring that there is a framework which will then facilitate the development as well as deployment of nuclear energy in our country. That process started some time ago. We do have two pieces of legislation which were passed by this democratic parliament in 1999. This is the Nuclear Energy Act and the National Nuclear Regulator Act. The Nuclear Energy Act is important in the sense that it then gives Minister of Minerals and Energy powers to actually be the one responsible for radioactive waste management nationally. Now, also in terms of the framework that we've been developing, there is the issue of the radioactive waste policy, which was approved by Cabinet in 2005. Ms. Homo will elaborate a little bit on that during the presentation. Recently, Cabinet approved the nuclear energy policy. This again is what is one contribution to that framework which we have been busy developing. There is also a revision of the nuclear non-proliferation framework, which will ensure that in terms of nuclear energy, as we pursue nuclear energy,
I don't want to be too comfortable on this position. The chairperson is here.
I usually like that position.
Oh, okay. Now that's fine. Okay, we get that back.
Oh,
there.
Okay. Because
you're
presenting that.
Your presentation is that. Thank you. That's fine. Quickly, Chair, is that we...
First, if you apologize for me, why I'm a bit late.
Yes, I did apologize for you, and I did explain that that position is not mine, it's yours. And it's here. So what we did, we introduced ourselves, introduced the department, and also introduced the energy group, and introduced Nexa, and I think everybody who is here. And we were in the beginning of a presentation on the National Radioactive Waste Management Agency Bill. That's far we that is where we are now.
Let us just forget. Not forget to switch off ourselves. Myself, because I'm late. I'm sure everybody is, so has got his cell switched off already. I'm sorry. I just had to drop my car for service. Now we didn't have a driver to bring me here. That was a problem. Otherwise, I'm always in time. thank you, Whip, for helping. Right, you can go ahead. I think I know most of you, except maybe the group from Energy Conserve. Oh, you are the ones from Energy Conserve. Okay, that's fine. Okay, you can go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was just giving a bit of a background on the framework that the department has been working on in terms of ensuring that nuclear energy can indeed be exploited in this country. I had gone through the two pieces of legislation, the Nuclear Energy Act and the NNR Act, as well as the policy for radioactive waste that was approved by Cabinet, and the nuclear energy policy that was approved recently. Then there is the issue of the non-proliferation framework. I can indicate here that the minister, on the 13th of June, published a revision of a regulation on non-proliferation, which previously was revision 740. And that revision is out now for public comment. And this is part of the work that we've been engaged in terms of strengthening our nuclear energy policy framework. We've come here today to present the National Radioactive Waste Management Agency bill, which emanates from the policy that was approved by Cabinet. And as I indicated, Ms. Komo, who as of the 1st of July will take over as Director of Nuclear Safety, will be the one that will be doing the presentation this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the introduction, Mr. Matkubela. I'll go right into the outline of the presentation. We'll go through the background and we'll give a bit of international perspective, and then we will talk about the agency bill itself. There are several activities that generate radioactive waste in South Africa. One is electricity production from the Kuwait nuclear power station, and two is the production of radiopharmaceuticals, the production of radioisotopes, activities that are related to decontamination and decommissioning, research and development, and we also have waste that is generated by mining activities, uranium mining. The status of radioactive waste in South Africa is that we have the used fuel that is at the Kuwait nuclear power station and at the Safari 1 reactor at NECSA. It is important to note that the Kuwait used fuel, that really presents the 95% of the total spent fuel inventory in this country. And then we have the low and intermediate level waste from Kuwait that is now disposed of at the Falbuts National Radioactive Waste Disposal Facility. And then we have the low and intermediate level waste that is generated at NECSA is on the Pelindaba site. So none of the waste that is generated at NECSA has left the Pelindaba site. A bit of background on the legal framework that we have in place. The 1998 White Paper on Energy Policy indicated that the development of the radioactive waste management policy and strategy was a critical short-term objective that we had to meet, and that particular policy was approved in 2005. And on the current governance and management framework, as Mr. Makubela mentioned earlier, we have the Nuclear Energy Act, which gives the Minister of Minerals and Energy the authority over the management of radioactive waste and storage of irradiated fuel. In doing this particular activity, the Minister can make regulations which, when we do, the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism and the Minister of Water Affairs are consulted. It is important for us to mention that in 2006, South Africa acceded to the International Atomic Energy Agency Joint Convention on the Management of Radioactive Waste, on the safety of radioactive waste management and on the safety of spent fuel management. What this convention does, seeks to do, is that it seeks to provide assurances that radioactive waste is managed with high level of safety in mind. And what currently happens is that ESCOM manages its own waste, and the low and intermediate level waste is then transported for disposal at Falbuts. NECSA manages its own waste and the waste from small operators as well. And all that waste is currently on the Pelindaba site.
We are apologetic. I think they allocated us a small hall. I thought as much because I know that especially nuclear waste is a hot cake. I thought as much that this hall will be congested. I don't know how we can divide ourselves because there is no way now. I think people have got to really squat against walls and something like that. And we must try and pull the chairs together if possible. I see there's a stretcher there. You can get some more chairs. No, it's fine. You can listen because it's part of energy. We are going to talk about things that affect this policy. It's important that it's not a problem. Just some few minutes for the day. I think we can continue. Yeah, I think it's a bit settled now.
Some of the space is taken by this group. We don't have a space. Usually we have a group of they'll take everything.
Thank you. It is important to note that the National Nuclear Regulator oversees all the work that is related to radioactive waste management. They do that by way of issuing nuclear authorizations, and they implement compliance assurance programs with the licensees. So you would find that in the authorizations they would have conditions that relate to how radioactive waste should then be managed by the operators. As I mentioned earlier, in 2005 we had the radioactive waste management policy and strategy approved. And what this policy does, seeks to do, is that it provides for the provision of a lasting long-term solution to radioactive waste, and that waste should be managed safely, and that we need to have adequate provisions for radioactive waste management now and in the future, and that the proper institutional framework needs to be in place. Some of the management structures that are required in terms of this policy are the National Committee on Radioactive Waste Management, the members of which is DME, the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, the Department of Health, and the National Nuclear Regulator sits on that committee as an observer / advisor. This committee is in existence, and we've been through several processes with them. One was a training session. Two, they are beginning to do facility visits. They visited Pelindaba to see all the facilities that are related to radioactive waste management. And now they'll be going to see the facilities at Kuberg and eventually the Falpus radioactive waste management, the radioactive waste disposal facility. The second structure that is required in terms of the policy is the National Radioactive Waste Management Agency, which the bill of which is the subject of discussion today. And the last one is the Radioactive Waste Management Fund, which would have to be established by an Act of Parliament The process to develop that particular piece of legislation has started, and at some point it will also come to this committee. To give a bit of international background, it is regarded as best practice to actually have an independent agency that manages the disposal of radioactive waste in a country that has a nuclear program. And what happens is that the generators, basically what an independent agency seeks to achieve is that the generators of the radioactive waste should not be entrusted the duty of also managing the disposal of such waste. They are basically an independent agency frees the generators of the waste to concentrate on their core mandate. That can be electricity generation or research and development, the production of radiopharmaceuticals or radioisotopes. There are several countries that have already established independent agencies in this regard, and examples are France, Spain, Hungary, Canada, Belgium, Japan, etc. Going into the National Radioactive Waste Management Agency bill itself, the purpose is really to establish the National Radioactive Waste Management Agency as an independent agency that will be responsible for the management of radioactive waste disposal on a national basis. This is a duty that they will be doing on behalf of the minister, as the Nuclear Energy Act gives the minister that authority over radioactive waste management. And the agency will be it will be wholly owned by the state. The agency would be controlled by a board of directors, and on the board will have the Department of Minerals and Energy, a representative of the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, and a representative of Water Affairs and Forestry, and a representative of the Department of Health, and no more than five other directors. The chief executive officer and the chief financial officer would also be members of the board. The functions of the agency is really to meet the institutional obligations of the minister related to the management of radioactive waste as provided for by the Nuclear Energy Act. The another function would be to design and implement disposal solutions. They would develop the radioactive waste acceptance and disposal criteria that would have to be complied with by the generators of the waste. They would assess and inspect the acceptability of the waste for disposal and issue disposal certificates. They would manage, operate, and monitor operational disposal facilities. They would also manage and monitor closed disposal facilities. The agency would investigate the need for any new disposal facilities and site, design, and construct such facilities as required. They would define and conduct the relevant research and development aimed at long-term radioactive waste management. They will be charged with maintaining a national radioactive waste database, and they would manage any ownerless radioactive waste on behalf of the state. The agency will assist generators of small quantities of radioactive waste in the management of their waste, and they would provide information on radioactive waste management to the public living around disposal facilities and to the public in general. It is important to note that the agency's facilities and activities will be licensed by the National Nuclear Regulator. So the agency would have to have nuclear authorization for the facilities that they would operate and those that they would construct. The financial management of the agency is that the agency will be a Schedule 3 public entity in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. And there's a provision in the bill that that allows the agency to accumulate surplus funds. The agency will receive money as appropriated by Parliament. They would receive money transferred from the Radioactive Waste Management Fund once it is established. This is one of the bills that, as I said earlier, that we are working on. They will receive money for services rendered to the waste generators on a cost recovery basis, and they would get income or interest earned on any cash balances. They would be allowed to raise, they will raise loans in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, and they would be allowed to receive donations or contributions, but only with the approval of the minister. I've mentioned that the agency would, they would issue disposal certificates on acceptance of waste from the generators. Now, before that happens, the generators will have to apply to the CEO of the agency for a waste disposal certificate. Now, in this certificate, the CEO can determine the conditions that would be necessary to ensure compliance with the set out radioactive waste acceptance criteria. That therefore means that before the agency would accept any waste for disposal, the generators would have to basically indicate that they have complied with all the conditions that are set out, because the agency can only receive the waste that is in the appropriate form and that conforms to the set out acceptance criteria. Now, the responsibilities of the generators of the radioactive waste is that the technical, financial, and administrative management for waste at their premises, and they will be responsible also for all those three functions during transportation of their waste to the facilities of the agency. And they are responsible to develop and implement site-specific waste management plans based on the national policy. The national policy, the radioactive waste management policy clearly states what the generators need to do in that regard, and also that these site-specific waste management plans would have to be reviewed by the National Committee on Radioactive Waste Management, and it is that committee that would then make a recommendation to the minister to either approve or not approve such plans. Another responsibility of the waste generators is that they should provide all the relevant information on the radioactive waste destined for disposal at the facilities of the agency. And they would have to demonstrate, as I said earlier, compliance with the conditions of the disposal certificate as issued to them by the CEO of the agency. The bill makes provision that all assets, liabilities, licenses, obligations, and authorizations of the Falkbosch National Radioactive Waste Disposal Facilities that is currently being operated by NECSA will vest in the agency. Now, that means that all the employees of NECSA at the Falkbosch Disposal Facility will become the staff members of the agency. So there are no threats to people's jobs in this process. And the bill also provides for the minister to make regulations that are necessary for the implementation of this bill. Now, just to give you, this would be the last slide, to give you a bit of the process that we went through in developing this bill is that that mandate comes from the Nuclear Energy Act, as I mentioned earlier, and that the Radioactive Waste Management Policy and Strategy required that this agency be established by Act of Parliament within 5 years from the approval of the policy. So that means that we have until, 2010 to have the agency in place. that same period has been stated also for the establishment of the Radioactive Waste Management Fund. And we have consulted, one, the National Committee on Radioactive Waste Management on this bill, and we've also consulted the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. Thank you very much. This is the end of my presentation.
Thank you for the presentation. I'll allow members to interact with you and see if they have an input on what you've presented. Honorable members, the floor is yours. Okay, Honorable Narang, first one. Honorable Kekane, Matibela, Bet. And you'll record the questions and respond accordingly as a usual practice. I have those three for now. Honorable Narang.
Yeah. Maybe the first question I would like to ask is just to check who was responsible for the management of radioactive waste and how has it managed in the past many years, and how if there is a big backlog, how will the agency assist in making sure that the backlog is addressed? Thank you.
So, you spoke about the radioactive waste from uranium, and we're told in the past that uranium comes from the gold ore. So where there is gold mining, I would imagine there would also be uranium. Now I'm just thinking of remember we are laymen, I've never touched uranium. So when I see all these mine dams, where is this uranium from? The mine stored. I can understand the one in Quebec nuclear plant, because they obviously professionally they have somebody to store, somewhere to store where it is safe. But the one from uranium, given the fact that the mining people are very careless about guns, where is it? And is it not that dangerous?
Thank you, Chairperson. Although I came after you have started. But what I got here was I just want to know which minister is solely responsible for this waste management. And when you talk about the ownerless radioactive, if we get somebody, an agency, who is going to be looking after this, is it not going to be partly dangerous? Is there going to be enough monitoring on the radio waste? Thank you.
Right. More questions? From the chair's side. What I don't understand very well about this agency, to me, I don't know, but it looks like it duplicates the functions of the nuclear regulator combined with the environment, the because the electricity regulator regulates electricity, looks into even anything that is supposed to be best managed in terms of energy and electricity, and the nuclear regulator is supposed to manage the environment and all possible hazards that emanate from radioactive waste. And the deed
according to the new bill, NEMA, is supposed to look into everything of environment in consultation with nuclear regulation in terms of nuclear waste. Now, I am not sure what role that this one has, but we have an experience here of too many structures being developed that end up conflicting amongst themselves because everyone now is a manager or a CEO, and then now they end up not talking to each other. Actually, in Parliament, we are managing a very difficult situation where people come to say things that were said yesterday because, they, in fact, their roles are almost common, but they develop many structures. And they don't talk to each other because it's like, are you usurping my power? So he goes this road, the other one goes that road, but they're talking the same language. And that has been a problem that we've been trying to highlight. I'll give you a very good example of countries like Sweden that are leading in nuclear waste management. I think I did discuss with the chief nuclear chief director. You see, in Sweden, they have been able to turn around the social perception in terms of nuclear waste management because of the way they have managed their affairs. What they have done, they have reduced all the structures that are likely to conflict with one another. And they have really identified structures that are really important stakeholders, such as communities, around the site of nuclear waste repositories. The municipalities around those sites, and indeed the general government perception in terms of nuclear waste, and they have managed now to win the perceptions in fact of two cities. Where the two cities are competing to host the waste management repositories. So, not long time ago, there was a complaint from one of the regulators because there are too many, and he came and said to me, now there's a problem, this regulator doesn't want to listen to me, because I said, you see, that is what I once raised when we were still processing this act, that you will end up having a conflict of interest because too many regulators, they spoil the problem. So I'm worried. I just want to get a clarification. How is this agency going to interact with NNR, with DIT, but also with part of the department? Because the department will also be part of it. It will also sit in that board. And I just want to get how it's going to happen. That's my first question. The CEO and the CFO of this agency, what would be their competence? What would be the competencies of this, the CEO and CFO? Because there will be... in fact, they will be holding very central positions in terms of, therefore, influencing the department, the NNR, the debt, and what would they would be their competence? Because it means they should be very highly competent people, and so forth. If you can just give me the kind of
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We've come as a team, honorable members, and we will be tackling this question as a team. Perhaps from my side, I will deal with the cross-cutting sort of issues, and my colleagues will then respond on some of the issues that I've left out. I think first of all, I would like to indicate that the issue of roles and conflicting roles, we don't believe that it is going to arise here. One, we do respect the provisions of the Constitution, which basically enjoins the government to ensure that there is cooperative governance. In our pieces of legislation, we have tried as much as possible to ensure that that is actually the case. Hence, in the if I were to give an example, the board of the NNR has got the Department of Environmental Affairs, because we did recognize even then that in certain areas, for example, the management of waste emanating from the mining activities, that the Department of Environmental Affairs has a role. And that, for example, prior to any activity being undertaken, there's got to be an environmental impact. And that it would then help if even in the nuclear licensing process, the Department of Environmental Affairs, was part of that process. So it goes back to even the legislation of 1999. Now, in terms of this one, we believe that the agency will actually be doing work and can therefore not be a regulator. And those functions cannot be carried out by a regulator. They will be disposing of waste. That is an activity. And that activity in itself has got risks, and those risks have got to be managed and they've got to be regulated. So the process of waste disposal is a licensable process. So if, for example, the NNR were to undertake that activity, the question then would be who would then license the NNR if they were to undertake that activity. So at the end of the day, let's just give an example. The agency's got to look for a site where the waste will be disposed. First of all, they'll have to do an EIA for that site. And therefore, the Department of Environment will then have to be the regulatory authority that oversees that. Secondly, when the site itself has got to be characterized in terms of its suitability to dispose of waste, the National Nuclear Regulator is the competent authority that has got to ensure that whatever is done there will be done safely. So they will then have to apply for a license from the National Nuclear Regulator. So I think at this stage, it is our view, in fact it's international practice, none of the regulators internationally actually dispose of waste. In fact, if we were to do that, we would go against the convention, the joint convention, which this country is party to, one of the principles there is to ensure that you actually separate roles. And the question then could be, why is NEXA not doing this? Currently, NEXA is you know, in terms of the Act, was undertaking this process. But we do believe that, you know, it is international best practice that those who generate waste should not also be responsible for disposal of that waste. Some other agency should be responsible for that. But also importantly, we think that the reason we are not able to move on a number of issues is that some of our institutions are actually, you are never quite sure what their mandate is, because the mandate is diverse. You know, they never can quite concentrate on something and finish. Now, Nexa's role is quite clear. They need to undertake activities for research and development, and in terms of the new policy, they are going to have to develop the nuclear fuel cycle, which will ensure that we have the nuclear fuel, you know, for our nuclear power plants. Now, that is quite a huge undertaking. And in terms of focusing, I think the energies of, you know, of Nexa should really be channeled towards research and development, and actually, you know, making sure that they, at the end of the day, there is a product that comes out of that, and, you know, we don't unnecessarily make them to do things that will then not force them to focus. On the issue of, I think just quickly on Sweden, Sweden has got an agency called SKB. And that agency is responsible for management of radioactive waste. But it is also regulated by the regulator in Sweden, which is not a, you know, which is an equivalent of the NNR. But what I can indicate is that in Sweden, such an agency is actually owned by the companies that produce waste. So you would find that an ESCOM and a Nexa both combine to form an SKB and actually then manage that. We don't necessarily think that that is a good thing, because then, again, as I indicated, we don't think that a waste generator should be responsible for disposal, because it's just one checks and balances. You need checks and balances if you are going to deal with the nuclear waste. I'm going to ask my colleagues to answer some of the other questions on the status of waste and the mine, on the issue of the responsibility. Perhaps if I can deal with that quickly. In terms of the Nuclear Energy Act, it is quite clear. The management of radioactive waste on a national basis is the responsibility of the Minister of Minerals and Energy. And when the Minister does that, the Act further says that there must be consultation with two other ministers, Water Affairs and Forestry, as well as Environmental Affairs and Tourism, because you would understand that there would be issues of, you know, ensuring that whatever is done with waste does not find its way into our, you know, aquifers, and therefore the Minister of Water Affairs would be important in that regard. And then the Minister of Environment, of course, for purposes of protection of the environment. I think let me stop there and ask my colleagues then to complete the other question.
Thank you, Chief. Just to add on perhaps from my colleague, I think one of the issues that we must remember is also you have different
producers of radioactive waste in South Africa.
Okay.
Different producers or generators of radioactive waste. So clearly, each generator cannot manage its own radioactive waste, and that's why you have to have a central organization to receive the waste from the various generators in a central way. Perhaps I can look at some of the questions that you wanted about mine dumps. Yes, a lot of our uranium occurs together with gold in the gold mining industry. Many of these mines, they've also extracted the uranium because that is quite a good commodity on the open market. But when the uranium price was low and maybe historical, some of the mines did not extract the uranium. Today, many of these mine dumps are being reprocessed by the mining companies. They've improved on their gold extraction capabilities, and they've also improved on uranium extraction. So you, if you drive along in the mine, in the gold mine areas, you will see many of these dumps are being reprocessed, and gold and uranium is being taken out. As far as the regulation on that, the MPRDA is one of the acts that that regulate mine dumps, but also mines are subject to registration by the regulator, the nuclear regulator. We specifically look at the nuclear and radiological safety of these facilities. And I'm sure the other regulators like the Department of Environment, Department of Water Affairs, they all have interest from their perspectives, because you have water running off from the mine dumps and you have other environmental impacts. The other question that I can handle is the CEO and the CFO of the agency. This is the agency is a very technical, high technical type of organization. So it will require a technical, competent manager to become the CEO. That person must specifically have good experience in the management of radioactive waste and knowledge about it. I think the CFO would be like any other CFO of a government organization that must have competency in financial management. Thank you.
There was a question on who was responsible for the waste in the past, and if there's a backlog, how would the agency assist? As we said earlier, in the what used to happen and what is happening now is that you have Eskom Kuber looking at their own spent fuel and their own low and intermediate level waste, and then you have Nexa at Pelindaba managing their own waste together with the waste from generators of the generators of small amounts of waste and any ownerless waste on behalf of the state. Now, whether there is a backlog, what's happening is the used fuel is stored on site. So the decision of what should happen to the used fuel, I think the nuclear energy policy recognizes that the used fuel still contains a lot of material that can be recycled and reused, and therefore, I mean, the internationally there are three options that are being looked at. One is long-term above ground storage, and two is reprocessing, where the useful materials are recycled and reused in the reactors. And the third option is deep geological disposal, where the fuel elements are then disposed of as is at depths of about 500 meters underground. So now, in that sense, I wouldn't want to say that there is a backlog, but there is the issue of the used fuel that is currently being stored. And it is stored at Kuberg, and it is stored at Nexa from the research reactor. And then in terms of the low and intermediate level waste, Eskom conditions their waste, and then it's sent off to Falputz for appropriate disposal in the shallow disposal facility. Now, at Nexa, the waste is conditioned appropriately and it is stored on site, what needs to happen is that it should either go to the low and intermediate level disposal facility, the transportation thereof. So these are some of the issues that the agency would have to deal with. If by the time we have the agency established, nothing has been done, but whatever would have been done, the agency would have to take over from there and then leave the operators to basically get on with their core mandate.
Yes, follow-up questions.
I'm trying to, because I'm new in this field, and some of the terms used here are technical. For example, I want to ask a basic question. What is radioactive waste? I come from the defense industry. I dealt with disposal of obsolete weapons and ammunition. And we had, over a period of time, we had to dispose of that ammunition, which is absolute, which is unusable, which can no longer be reprocessed. And that backlog is a backlog, it's a problem of many countries. So if you find a solution of how to dispose that, then you can find a solution for Africa, you know, or the neighboring states. So here, what are we actually talking about? Can you quantify radioactive waste? Can you make it tangible? Well, what is it? Because she talks of a used fuel. In my own imagination, in my car, I put fuel, and it never. If it gets used, it disappears. So how do you store it? So I just want a simple answer as an explanation. Thanks.
Yeah. I still have some questions and follow-up questions here. You see, when you train in nuclear science and engineering, part of the training is that you have to be able to manage all these things, including even how to manage the transportation of radioactive waste, how to assign correct, safe railway lines for that purpose, how to manage the average direction of the winds in a site where the nuclear weather waste or nuclear power activity is going to happen. You have to be able to identify the possibilities of the geological orientation of the rocks around where you are supposed to build such a plant, and so forth. There are so many things that you have to understand. Now, the NNR. In many countries, I'll tell you about these structures. In fact, I would accept that if you are talking about the agents that you say is the international best practice, it is the international best practice to have money for a few agencies to earn. It's a commercial world, it's a globalized commercial world. But the reality of the essence of administration of nuclear power, there is the International Atomic Energy Agency, first of all, which is an international body. There is, in every given country which is practicing nuclear power, it is supposed to have a type of an agency called either a Committee on the Peaceful Use of Atomic Energy, or it may be like in the UK, the United Kingdom Atomic Authority, and so forth and so forth. You have this now. The NNR is supposed to regulate, from the inception as you are saying, when ESCOMs or NERSA or NEXA, when they start to engage in nuclear activity, every stage, which is exactly what is happening with TBMR, every stage has got to be regulated by a nuclear regulator, which reports to the International Atomic Energy Agency, interacts with them in terms of international standards. There is even the international nuclear law based in Argentina, or it used to be, if it's still, which regulates matters of law in dealing with nuclear activity. So the NNR, the essence, that's why I'm asking, because when you have those private agencies, they are exactly private. They are exactly private. The reality is that everything, once you export it to private hands, then we are in fact creating more risk than we are protecting, you see. Now, if you have an institution like the NNR, which is a reflection of many institutions in the world that is engaged in nuclear power, my understanding of my training is that these are the institutions that are supposed to regulate this. They can themselves establish divisions, if at all, that can therefore make sure that they transport these materials. Actually, what you are talking about, the essence of DWAF, I mean, of the engagement of DWAF, is because, you see, in radioactive waste, one of the things that are supposed to be guarded against is that it should never be fluidal, because if it is fluidal, then it can, it's not easy to regulate it. So the whole essence is that it should be solidified. If possible, nuclear waste must be solidified and be stored in solids, you see, and so forth and so on. So I'm having a reservation about the international best practices as they appear in the globalized world.
The other last question,
I think. The directors, five other directors, you mentioned the DWAF, the health, they seem very relevant for the purpose. But the five other directors, what would be the considerations of these five directors? Can I be one of them, or can he be one of them? What are the considerations? Because it is important to define the duty and the essence of a person who is supposed to be then. Just to have an additional number.
thank you, Chairperson. I think I'll ask Ms. Khomo and Dr. Duval to deal with one of the questions. But I really think that I need to deal with the issue of the agent, because the agent is going to be, as the bill indicates, will be wholly owned by the state. So this is not privatization at all. This will be an agency that will be wholly owned by the state. So that one is not an issue at all. Secondly, the agency will be funded initially by monies appropriated by Parliament. But of course, we believe, and it's in the policy, in the nuclear waste policy, that the generator must pay for the waste. And therefore, there will be monies that are transferred from the generators to pay for the management of the waste. The polluter must pay. We've adopted that principle. And and Nexa, for example, will have to pay into the fund. Eskom will have to pay into the fund, and that fund then will then be used to manage the activities of the agency. So where basically, I think perhaps the issue is the funding. it really, it is to cater for polluter pays. And that's what, where, you know, the ESCOMs will come in.
Yeah. But actually, just I was worried about that, and then I think you've clarified, because funding, when you said it's going to raise funds all over the world, then I was worried about that. Okay, I think it's fine.
In fact, I think this is one of the areas, in our view, as a department, that we need to look at, is the provision. Do we have enough provision for management of, you know, of waste, of decommissioning going forward? These are some of the things that I think we have to be to engage with quite seriously going forward, so that as these new power stations are being built, there is sufficient provision for managing then the waste that will come, you know, from those activities. The just on the issue of, just to give some comfort, that I think the South African persons or personnel or scientists, basically, they are recognized internationally, and in fact the committee that establishes standards internationally for radioactive waste for the past 4 years has been chaired by an official of the South African National Nuclear Regulator. So he has been chairing that committee, and that committee has been developing standards to be basically implemented worldwide. And I think that and in fact, recently he was asked again to stand for, he was nominated to chair that, and as a department we endorsed that, and so he will be chairing again for another 3 years. So these are things that are not readily known, and I mean, I can also indicate that this is a black South African who is sharing this, and these are things that are not readily, you know, known. I mean, I know that this is not a question at this stage, but I think it would be important for me to also indicate that in the last 12 months, three South Africans, black South Africans, two women and a man. Three is not a big number, but I must indicate that those three have been awarded nuclear engineering PhDs. And these are people, young people, and they are part of a huge team of young people that is beginning to come through. At the department, in the last 2-3 years, we have employed no less than 14 MSc graduates in nuclear technology. And you know, this trend is continuing, and these are young people that are coming through, and we believe they will form, you know, the feedstock for the future of our nuclear sector. I think at this stage I would like my colleagues to just explain radioactive waste in simple
simplified manner. Between I think perhaps just to advise them not to use the definition as appears in literature. It must just be simplified as in what is it? What you know.
Well, basically radioactive waste is radioactive material for which no further use is envisioned. If that is the case and it is seen that it will be disposed, then it is regarded as waste. So it could be fresh material that has never done anything. But if you don't see any further use for it, that then makes it radioactive waste. And on the question of the spent fuel, what happens is, I mean, worldwide, the term that is used, that was used before, is spent fuel. That is used for the fuel elements that have been used in the reactor to generate electricity, and when they come out, and as they are, there are countries that say will directly dispose them in deep geological disposal, and then there are countries that say, but there is still useful material in there, but we just need to reprocess and recycle the useful material. So then that's where our policy uses the term used fuel, that it has been used, but we recognize that there is still useful material in there. And in other countries, the minute they say it is spent fuel, then that says that they will dispose it off without any reprocessing and recycling.
I think there was an issue about petrol. Now, petrol is a hydrocarbon. And so basically when there is combustion in an engine, that hydrocarbon then changes form. And what you get as waste there really is water and, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and so on, which I guess is that you never see. Now, in the process of, in the process, in the nuclear process, you have uranium, which is a metal. Now, in the process of transforming that into electrical energy, basically, that uranium atom is split, and what comes out of it basically is energy, which is then used to produce electricity. But in splitting, it splits into other metals that now become waste. So when it's struck by something referred to as a neutron, in that process of a chain reaction, there are other waste materials that are produced. And not all of the uranium actually is used. So you still have some uranium left over in the fission process, which is then mixed with all these waste products that were produced in the splitting of the atom. So this is what really we refer to as waste. Now, also, in the case of mining, there is radioactive material other than uranium that occurs naturally, which one of the elements is thorium, which is found naturally. So when you extract gold, you actually are concentrating something else, because in the ore, it's mixed all together. It's the gold, it's the thorium, it's the uranium, you know, and the other, you know, waste products that were actually accumulated from years of the actual uranium itself, which has been, you know, disintegrating over time. Now, when you extract that gold, you concentrate then the uranium, you concentrate the thorium. Now, that becomes a hazard, and that's the hazard that needs to be managed. In as far as uranium is concerned, as indicated, because now it is a commodity that is earning money, it is also being extracted. But then you are still left with the other naturally occurring radioactive material, which then become waste, and they are solids, most of them, and then they need to be managed. I hope I have
Okay, if you allow me, I'll deal with the third question, the five directors. But before that, I just want to also add on to my colleague about nuclear governance. I think that that was an issue. I think what we must understand, nuclear governance internationally is based on three pillars: nuclear safety, nuclear technology, and nuclear non-proliferation. Now, those are usually governed separately. So nuclear safety, we've established the nuclear regulator. It's just at safety. Nuclear technology, we've established the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation to do R&D in nuclear energy. And when it comes to non-proliferation, that is to prevent the proliferation of nuclear material for weapons production. The minister, in terms of the legislation, is the regulator. The minister issues authorities for that. That's how it's governed in South Africa. One of the provisions in the Nuclear Energy Act is the minister is also responsible for the management of nuclear waste disposal on a national basis. So how must the minister do that? And in terms of the rad waste policy, it was decided and approved by Cabinet that an independent agency must provide for that obligation of the minister, disposal of radioactive waste. So maybe that was just a brief coverage of the governance. When it comes to the five other directors, I can say that the draft bill makes provision for that by basically disqualifying certain people for being members on the board, like being, you have to be a South African citizen. And one of the disqualification items is if you're a member of parliament.
Now, the follow-up question, you have touched Falputz. Falputz has been has had some problems, especially from environmental groupings for some of things that have happened around there. Are you still going to continue using it? Do you foresee an indefinite use of Falputz, or are you thinking of establishing a new repository? You said also something which is very important about other types of reprocessing. I think they usually call it transmutation reactions of radioactive material. Is the department, but particularly NEXA, engaged in this. I know United States is very much engaged in this process now. How far are you engaged in reprocessing using transmutation reactions and the new radioactive material? I see there is a government also there.
I just want to follow up on the mine dump, because the mine dumps, according to our environmental people, have been identified. They said, well, mining had an advantage that in the past nobody worried about the environment. So the dig gold, you can see the Witwatersrand range is full of mountains. When you grew up, we thought it was mountain country. It was actually dumping. So we are happy that by the grace of God, the dams are not like that waste. They can extract new value like gold again and uranium. Now my question is, since they've got this potential of uranium, my environmental people were saying they are a disturbance to the environment. They should be dealt with. The mines, previous owners must remove them. And now that there's new value, I just want to understand, the uranium, is it not radioactive? Can't it release some dangers of radioactive gases? And I was also worried about the price, that when the price was low, it becomes a storage, you store them. So they are not going to be removed. They've got to wait for the right prices in the world before you can extract uranium. If you could just explain further about the mine dams, because the deadline is that they should be removed. Unfortunately, we can still extract gold and uranium, but how long is that process going to take? Are they not presently a danger because of radioactivity?
Yeah, the last one actually is about these mine dams. Most of these common ideas are engaged in this mine dump reprocessing. How far are they really cleaning the otherwise radioactive sites in terms of this new reprocessing? I know they've just invited us to another one where they said they are going to produce many tons. I think they call it Finch something, Finch Project. I don't know, but it's about that. Can you brief us about that?
Okay. On that one. But let me go further to the real issue. you see, now we're talking about energy. the real issue is not that much on the beer small. That is small height. The bigger one are the eastern, those ones, from the gold mine. Those are the most dangerous ones that we in fact need to be focused on.
Thanks again, honorable members. The issue of Albert, we are convinced as a department that Falpets is a safe repository, remains one, and will continue to be the site for low and intermediate level waste at disposal for the country going forward. There were issues some time ago of drums that were found to have had cracks. And that issue was investigated thoroughly, and you know, corrective measures were implemented. And again, it goes back to the issue of why there has to be separation between a generator and a disposer of waste. And in our view, we don't know what would have happened if we had the generator being the same one that disposes of that waste, whether such issues could have come to the fore. But I think at this stage, you know, we believe that all corrective actions were implemented, and you know, we haven't had any problem at Salford's since that incident. The issue of mine dumps, I think legacy issues in you know, are a challenge. But of course, I you know, we believe that they are not insurmountable challenges. But we cannot hide the fact that they remain challenges. The mine, you know, the mine, not the, I wouldn't call them dumps, the tailings, dams, and so on. If they are left, you know, unmanaged and so on, will present a hazard. And currently, there is an incident in Wonderfunding where actually the waste from the mines, you know, has found itself into you know, into the environment where it's not controlled, into uncontrolled areas, and it's been concentrating. But what has happened is that this has been happening over years. It's not something that happened in the last maybe 5 years, 10 years. This has happened over the years that has been mining activity in South Africa. And to actually deal with that is going to require quite an effort. But of course, this is not an area of our jurisdiction in terms of the you know, the division of activities even within the department. Ours really is to ensure that the radioactive component of that waste is managed safely. We believe that, I mean, chemical toxicity presents more of a hazard in those mine dumps than the radioactive material. For example, the cyanides, you know, they are more soluble and would find their way into the aquifers much quicker. So it is an issue, but there is this structure that has been created by the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, Water Affairs and Forestry, DME, and the NMR, as well as the community around the Wonderfunding, that are beginning to deal with this. But I don't think it's confined only to that one area. It is an issue that needs to be you know, dealt with in other areas as well. But I must indicate that you know, these sometimes get linked to our nuclear program when in actual fact there is no linkage as such.
they come from the mining activity. Uranium, for example, that is used currently, you know, is not contributing to the exposure of people to the hazards, because that one is managed by the NNR through the authorization processes. It's the historical ones that are beginning to pose a problem, the dumps. And they are, I mean, I think, to be honest, they do require some effort. Thanks.
Are there still any responses, or have you exhausted them?
Sorry, was there a question about reprocessing?
Yes.
About the new technology of reprocessing as is used in the United States.
Some countries take their fuel from the reactor after it's used and call it spent fuel, and they have programs to dispose of that spent fuel directly. Other countries recognize the value sitting in that fuel, and they call it used fuel, because you can reprocess it and take out 95% of that used fuel and reuse it and make new fuel for another in the reactor. And only 5% of the used fuel will then become high-level waste. I think the French are the country in the world that's best in this regard. In terms of our nuclear policy, we also favor that process because it's sustainable, and you can recycle some of the useful materials in the used fuel. With regard to the United States, our understanding is that they've always been against reprocessing because one of the components that you recycle is plutonium. And although it's not really weapons-grade plutonium, they always argue that you can still make a bomb from that plutonium. Therefore, in terms of non-proliferation, they were against reprocessing. However, recently, with all the energy crisis in the world, we believe that the United States is changing their position, and that they're seriously looking into reprocessing of their great amounts of used fuel in that country. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, in their program, the Generation 4 Initiative, they have got that. They are dealing with that in detail, that they foresee using it like that. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I think that's it. We will... you still have some last question.
Thank you, sir. I just heard about the Wonderfontein community around there. Is it going to affect them health wise or what, or is it already affecting them, and if they are affected, what's going to happen to those people? Thank you.
Chairperson, I really think this matter belongs to the National Nuclear Regulator, because I may speak here and misrepresent what is actually their position. If I could, I would note the question and ask them to give us something in writing which will then we can undertake to provide to the committee. But just to say that the reports that they have submitted to the minister, when the minister requested clarification on what was going on, the current status is that there is no immediate danger to the communities currently. But of course, they also go on to indicate that
if nothing is done, you know, there could be hazards emanating from that that could then, you know, given certain scenarios, could expose people to unacceptable levels. But, of course, this is only the radioactive component of that problem. So we are not saying from the chemical, you know, contaminants that are there, there is no danger. I think they only talk from just the one hazard, the one of radiation.
Okay, I think we've exhausted this presentation. We will be looking forward to have you back to process this into a piece of legislation and be and an act of parliament. How long do you think we will start working on this on your part? We want to have by August 12 finalized this legislation.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We are ready to go. Chairperson, the state law advisor of course did certify the bill, and we believe we are ready to engage with the process.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we will have the next presentation. We've got Conserve Energy here. They want to tell us. I decided that you should start first because probably because you come from the department, they want to tell us about some secrets of how to solve the energy situation, and we want to hear together with you. So I invited to be here so that you listen to what they want to say about the annual technology. Yeah, we can have some, let's see, we can have some 10 minutes break. And
I'm going to go to Cape Town.